And we are recording, so I don't screw that up too.
Okay.
Excellent.
So we are actually
so
almost
we a, got.
We are a semi real podcast this week. You know?
Let's not go that far, man.
Yeah. So we are the Outlaw Mud Show of podcasts.
As always. So what are we talking about? SummerSlam?
Definitely SummerSlam on the back half, and I thought we were going to talk a little bit.
Yeah, what do we want to get out of the way before SummerSlam? Because fuck, two nights, we have a big card, long show.
Yeah.
Luckily, I have tomorrow off.
Not me, but it should be a relatively easy day. I'm not too worried about it. Let's spend the first segment. I wanted to talk. Have you got how much of Unreal have you guys seen?
None.
Okay, so I watched all of episode 3, and I've watched the same clips that everybody else has been watching on Twitter and whatnot.
Jason, do you
and
know
I mean, per our discussion, I've not watched it at all. I've just seen the commercials and whatnot.
Okay.
And I'm just going to put in my two cents that it seems like it's playing out pretty much how we predicted and how Rob basically summed it up. That the it's just another behind the scenes documentary, but they are adding another level of shoot of
okay.
work.
All right, we can go with that. And Jason, as long as you think you can carry on enough of your end of the conversation, I think, because I've watched 1 through 3 and finished up about
Half of 4. Just bounce stuff off you guys, because I mostly want to talk about the, I'm sorry, the clips I've seen of the writer's room stuff. I mean, we should talk about this before. We shouldn't catch each other by surprise. Like, listen, Triple H, Pritchard, Michael P.S. Hayes, you are all wonderful performers and live studio performers, you are all fucking horrible actors. And Michael P.S. Hayes saying, well, what about Jay? Fuck off, dude! I'm not gonna get this wild on the show, but that shit was insulting.
So, let's pause there, because I want to ask you guys a question. How deep into the calling them out on that do we want to get, or do we want to just kind of
going all the way? I'm going all the way. I'm going to say, Rob, thank you for being succinct and summing it up for me. It's basically a just even more expose behind the scenes that they've always been doing. WWE 24, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Until you get to the writer's room or like from behind when they're talking about matches and shit, don't fucking insult my intelligence.
Oh,
Stop it.
I was watching we'll talk about it on the show, because there's a moment in time that led me to believe they recorded this after the match already happened.
Okay.
So, all right. So we'll start off there. We'll go to break. We'll come back and it's SummerSlam from there. Cough it up, Jason.
Good. Summary of what is it? Unrivaled?
Unreal, Jason.
No, WWE. Unreal.
Unreal.
Jason, it's still real to me, damn it.
Jason, cough up your lung cancer. Let's go.
All right. Hang on. Give me a second. One more pop and then I'll be.
Well, Triple H heard you talking about him and that. Now he's going to. He infected you with something.
He's sending the goon squad, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. That picture of him at the White House is just fucking hilarious.
Can't even.
No, did you watch the clip?
I was President Trump. Yeah, he.
dude, President Trump announcing that these dudes were going to be like his sports stars, and the first thing that they were going to do is like take a look at college football because they don't know what they're doing over there. Every single one of those dudes. That was the first time they heard that information.
like I was saying, you could have played the Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
Yeah, definitely Hunter, because I was watching him like a hawk, obviously, because I'm like, no way. I mean, obviously we know our president has done this 1,000 times, just talking. But yeah. Yeah, he 100% had no idea what that was happening. I don't love the cartoon that we live in, but at least it's kind of funny and not just always the Gestapo beating down our door.
I've got a friend of mine in Ireland, And when Trump got elected the first time, he said, man, from an entertainment standpoint, we are ready for it. He's like, I feel for you guys, but we are ready for it overseas. We are the laughing stock.
Yeah, dude, no, dude. Nobody's much better than us, so fuck off.
No, like, I know. He knows.
Yeah,
no, believe
I know. I own you're great, but I mean, who's the guy? Starts with a B, the old UK Prime Minister. Look, it basically looked like a Trump. Like with a fake, like,
oh, I know
what
you're talking about.
Red, blonde hair.
Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't know.
But, like, they all have them. They all have, like, these fucking absolute wackadoos who somehow, in the 21st century, like, actually, right wing politics across the world is good. No, what's happening? Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry, you got me.
All right.
No, my dad was the president of the. You know, I will criticize my country, but fuck you if you're from somewhere else and you say something bad about us.
Yeah, that's pretty much my family.
Yeah, I mean, and in this case, I mean, maybe not specifically Ireland, but it's just like, dude, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, this right-wing Nazi thing is just happening again all over the world.
All right, sorry, let's get started here.
Too much.
Yeah, let's get started here so we can get into this. Like I said, we'll do Unreal first, and then we'll do a break. We'll come back. We'll do SummerSlam. And before we get into that, do we want to, like, deep dive into the show, or do we just want to do, like, the round-the-room predictions and then deep dive on the stuff that we interest us the most?
Let's just do the 12 matches.
Yeah, and we'll be here all night.
And we're not going to wax poetic about, like,
Every single one, actually.
Joey Roll, Logan Paul, all of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Sami Zayn and Karrion Kross, if we spend more than 2 minutes on that, I'm going to beat you both up.
Okay. Well, look, my take on that is save it for the show.
Okay. Yep, save it for the show. I'm going to get us going here in a minute, okay? So we've got about 15 minutes.
I'm muting, do the intro, and let's do it.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, July 31st. July, kicking it right out the door, right on down the road, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. As always, you can find us on thechairshot.com and all your favorite podcasting platforms. We remind you to always use your head. I'm DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He's the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob. Sir, how's your week, Bubba?
Not too bad, although I almost had a situation here this morning.
Uh-oh. Tell us about it before I get to Jason.
Okay. So normally, all right, I usually go on with record with Ernest on Tuesdays, right?
Okay.
But we recorded last night. So I fell asleep and all that. And the kids are here on Wednesday nights. But my brain was thinking it was Tuesday night. So I wake up this morning. I walk past both of their rooms. Their lights are on, so I turn their lights off. I go downstairs and start doing my stuff in the morning. And then I hear a noise upstairs.
Oh no!
And then I was like, "What the hell?" So I grabbed like it was a broom or something, and I was like, "Who the hell is that?" Miles. Like, oh. Like,
holy shit, man.
And we both started laughing. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I thought it was Wednesday. I thought it was
Yeah, I thought it was Wednesday morning, not Thursday. My bad.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Oh, my God.
And you may have heard him, but I'm going to introduce him anyway. He is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He is Bucky's tag team partner. He hails from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. The man with the bionic back, Jason, sir. I feel like I missed part of your intro, but how you doing? He is destined to go through a barbershop window. God damn it, I got it. At the tail end of it, I got it.
No, no. Why am I destined to go through a barbershop window? Because I am a partner of somebody?
No, oh, you're Bucky's tag team. I said Bucky's tag team partner, didn't I?
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did. I said that. Okay.
I didn't hear it.
Okay, guys, anyway, before we get started.
My intro was wonderful. Thank you so much, DJ. It's wonderful to be here. I'm so excited to be here. And Rob, since you decided to step all over my intro and get your shit in early, you know, Mr. Rhea Ripley over here, he decided, I will confess to you that, so funny story, I've listened to the Rob the Genius podcast for years and years and years, and it's always in my, like, most, because I listened to, like, 8 podcasts and 1 music playlist that just keeps getting bigger, and so I just have, like, a rotation. I just followed the Rob the Genius podcast on Spotify about 2 minutes ago, and I've been a guest on that podcast multiple times.
That's embarrassing,
my friend. I love you, and I'm now a subscriber after all this time. But yeah, you were just always in my recently listened rotation. So anytime I thought of you, I was like, "Oh yeah, there it is, done."
So for the listeners at home, Jason sounds like he shot out of a cannon. There's a reason for that tonight because in the pre-show, Jason was hacking up a lung, coughing his lungs out. Why? Because he just can't help himself. Pre-show kickoff. Nope, that's Rob's. Hang on a minute. What the hell? How did that happen?
That's a bear.
That's what I want.
So anyway, he's searching for a bong sound, and yes, I imbibed a little bit before the show. Don't tell nobody. But it's legal in Massachusetts, so wonderful. There it is.
And that's why Jason is shot out of a cannon tonight. This show is going to be all over the road. We're going to have a bit of fun, though. We do want to talk huge, huge wrestling weekend this weekend. WWE SummerSlam Night 1 on Saturday, Night 2 on Sunday. 12 total matches. Did I hear that right from you guys? 12 total matches.
Yep.
Good Lord, this is going to be a long show and a long weekend. I'm looking forward to it. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit. WWE's got their new documentary series out, dropped this week, 6-part series, Unreal on Netflix. And man, my timeline has been all over the road with this thing. And people have been, you know, complaining about what it was and what it was going to be and what they thought it was going to be as soon as they announced what their side of the story was. It is a deeper look into WWE creatively as a force, what they do behind the scenes, which WWE has been doing for years anyway. We've had the WWE 24 documentaries. We've had, you know, all these different things, you know, like when CM Punk came back, when Cody came back, all these exposés, things like that. This one implied that it was going to go even deeper into the creative process. They were going to let us in the writer's room. We're going to show you guys how everything works. This is what we're doing, guys. We're opening the curtains all the way. Throwing them wide open. Going to let you guys right in as if you work here. And people did what the IWC usually does. And the takes of, oh, they're going to expose the business. And as if the business hasn't been telling on itself for 30 fucking years. Some people really, really loved it. Some people think that they have further destroyed a business that these people think that they've destroyed. I tend to look at the whole thing this way. Like I just said, we know what it is. WWE knows what it is. They know, we know what it is. I don't see any harm in them peeling it back just to shred further. But the question, aside from talking about a few individual little things that at least Rob and I have seen, Jason has yet to watch it, but he's kind of seen the clips and kind of knows the gist of it all. The question that we're going to answer tonight is, how much did they really peel the curtain back? Because I think it's the general consensus of this show, and it was definitely the Genius's initial impression that they're not going to overplay their hand here. And I'll start with you, Rob. You've watched episode number three. You didn't watch three episodes, correct?
Right.
Okay, so your takeaways from episode three.
Okay, so a lot of it is the same as like the WWE 24 or the Peacock documentaries they do. They talked to Bianca for a bit, and it was about her, you know, her routine and who she is. I mean, you know, everyone they talked to said they're like, well, this is what my real name is and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, but it's the same type of stuff they do on the 24 documentaries. They have them talking about who they really are and their background, and they show some candid stuff with them. So they showed, some stuff with Bianca and Montez. They showed Charlotte at the doctor's office when her, one of her knee surgery. They showed like Chelsea Green at home, going through some of her gear and whatnot. So, I mean, that's the same as the WWE 24 documentaries. Most of it is just that. I mean, and, they show some stuff in Gorilla, and they show some stuff from backstage, and then they have various people talking about the different wrestlers and saying nice things about them. And, and they show the writer's room. And so.
This is the part that a lot of people were really concerned with as far as WWE further exposing the business beyond what they feel it already has. Go ahead.
No, and Rob and DJ, let me jump in there because I have not yet watched it, but I have seen clips, and that's kind of the person that you're talking about right now, DJ, is the person who hasn't quite watched it yet, but it's like, okay, do we want to do this? And yes, now that it has actually come out, there are way more clips, so I've probably seen stuff that's beyond commercial. But specifically, I saw the one where they're discussing the Royal Rumble winner. And it basically, they go around the table, and it's Cena, or Punk. And then it almost becomes Punk, and then all of a sudden, Michael P.S. Hayes gets the bright idea. What about Jey Uso? And let me tell you something, guys. Again, just watch this one clip on YouTube or Twitter or whatever it was. But these guys are all, Triple H, Michael P.S. Hayes, like all these guys who performed in front of thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They are excellent stage performers. They are wonderful performers. They are all horrible actors. And I'm sorry, that shit looked so staged. So that is a worked shoot. And that's exactly what I think they're not going to pull back the creative process, guys. They're not going to tell you how a sausage is made. They're not going to tell you how Santa comes down the chimney. They're not going to. Yeah, even Hunter. All right, no matter what you guys think of that guy, he is a professional wrestler at heart. He is not, and they are feeding, if you are even getting into the writer's room stuff, I do agree with Rob. Everything I've seen of the backstage stuff and all that, and the interviews, yeah, maybe they're being a little more real, and I'm like folding my arms and being a 90s person when I say that, like, we're going to be real. Yeah, they're being a little more real. But yeah, it's just the WWE 24 stuff. And that stuff's great, by the way. I love seeing that stuff. The behind the scenes, how we made it. This is what Gorilla looks like. This is what it looks like when you rush from the locker room through Gorilla to the thing to tell somebody something. And then this is what they do. Like, that is awesome.
Yeah. Because
don't tell me how the magic is made. Don't even attempt to tell me how the magic is made.
If they were honest about how the sausage was being made, because there's an infamous whiteboard that had what the original WrestleMania plans were, and that was just so much bullshit. But here's the thing, because what they're not going to show you is when somebody says, "What about this guy?" and then Hunter or somebody else says, "Well, he can't work but 8 minutes, so fuck that. It's WrestleMania. He's not good enough," right?
Right, like those discussions happen, guys.
They're not going to show you when a name gets put out there, and then Hunter is like, "Hell no, that dude stinks."
Well, let me pause you there because,
by the way, to stop this with again, Michael P.S. Hayes just finally speaks up after 15 minutes and goes, "Well, what about Jey Uso, guys? Guys, when they were supposedly having this meeting, we were in all you dorks out there, all you losers, were waiting for Jey to cool off. That's yeah. how off to the races you're like, oh, it's not gonna last, oh, it's not gonna last, oh, it's not gonna last. Yeah, well, here we are, by the way. And oh. Jey Uso, I promise, Jey Uso was in marker a month before. Men's Royal Rumble winner, Jey Uso.
Yeah, because here's the thing, right? Because they have these meetings, like, supposedly, like, in like starting in, like, September or October or something. Okay, so, and then Michael Hayes makes his comment about, well, sometimes people get hot, and it's like, okay, nobody gets hot in November. Like It's very rare that somebody gets hot in November and they just change everything.
Right.
Okay. No. Okay.
Yeah.
There's maybe like one or two people that got hot that late, and even then, it started a few months earlier. Okay.
Also, they suggest Punk. They suggested Punk.
Of course they
did. Yes. His WrestleMania match was already in pen at that point.
Yeah. You're like, I don't see how. Yeah.
Breakup with Seth and Paul and Roman, like, that whole thing, that was in pen already. So, no, Seth can't win the Royal Rumble. Or, excuse me, Punk.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere you go from Punk being a suggested Royal Rumble winner to being in a triple threat match with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Like, yeah. No, I'm sorry.
Where, by the way, Paul Heyman is walking him into WrestleMania? That was planned last year, guys.
Yeah.
And then also,
As soon as he and Roman broke up, it was probably like, yeah, well, we'll eventually get to that.
And then, the women's matches that they had supposedly planned. Okay. For one, all right, they had Nia Jax and Jade Cargill for one women's championship. And I guarantee you, and look, I'm sorry, I'm going to sound like I'm being a jerk to both of these ladies, but there's no way in hell they had that match for WrestleMania. Okay? I'm sorry.
No shot.
No.
There's no way in hell.
It was always going to be the match it ended up being.
And, okay.
So, the creative process stuff is clearly, like, they're fussing with us, man.
Yeah, because, look, all right, just the women's matches they had planned, they had Nia Jax and Jade for one. They had Rhea and Bianca for the other one. And then they had Becky and Charlotte teaming against Io and Asuka. And I guess that would have been for the women's tag team titles. And how do we get from that to Charlotte versus Tiffany, Rhea, Bianca, and Io in a triple threat match? And then Becky and then teaming, being the surprise partner for Lyra against Raquel and Liv. I mean, come on.
You know what Michael P.S. Hayes also did that day before they started shooting? Michael P.S. Hayes, who knew the actual WrestleMania card, was assigned by Triple H, hey, take all the names you know and just mix them up and put them on the board. Got it.
And then they had, like, I think they had a ladder match for each men's mid-card, like a six-man ladder match for each men's mid-card type.
No way they were doing two ladder matches, one ladder match a night. No freaking way.
One for the
U.S. And so hang on. This kind of ties into another point that I wanted to make. It's like, we kind of know. We understand the creative process enough through what we've heard about stories years later and books that people have written and all sorts of stuff like that. Like, and that's why we do what we do on this show. That's why we just said what we said. You don't do two men's mid-card matches, like ladder matches, back-to-back. Well, because there's years' worth of evidence that tell you so, both of the writers saying so, that's how you build a match, and obviously the cards we have watched.
So, we're
not all, like, idiots when it comes to this stuff. So when you actually treat us like idiots, that's when we're going to get mad.
Go ahead and finish, Rob.
Sorry, DJ, what did you say?
I didn't watch these shows, and I at no point did I get that they were treating me like an idiot. Like, a lot of people who WWE's insulting our intelligence. Like, pick a lane here. Okay, either they're exposing everything and giving us everything, or they're you know, treating us like idiots. And I didn't get that from this. But it's for the people that were worried about them exposing the business, breathe. Like, take a deep breath, touch some grass, touch a cold wall. It's okay.
No, I totally flipped because that was my big concern, was like, I don't actually want to know. And then they showed me this. I'm like, oh, you're not actually telling us.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, whatever. They didn't tell us anything. And like I said, I was watching, and this is, I have a theory. Because I told you guys this early on in the pre-show. I was watching the segment on the women's Elimination Chamber match. And they're talking about what they should do for the finish. And it's the writer's room. It's Triple H. It's Road Dogg. It's Michael Hayes. It's a couple of other like head writers and VP writers and things like that. A couple people may have wandered in and out. But they're literally verbally, okay, we need to do this and we need to do this. And it's verbatim what ended up on TV. My going theory is that conversation that they recorded happened after the match had already finished. So that's where I think we are with this. I don't think they're telling us anything because why watch? You know, and I understand that these are coming out months after the fact. We are in July, and some of this video goes back to the end of last year. So yeah, they're not giving it to us in advance, which is fine, but they're also not telling us anything that's... Like, you can't ruin the story after the story. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I've seen Endgame...
You also can't ruin the story for like a without like a good reason. Where it's like, okay, here's... It's... This happened because this person, like, turned their ankle or something like that. And it created this domino effect or whatever.
Yeah.
But just saying, like, yeah, this is how we did it. Okay.
Couple things. I've watched episode 1 through 3 and about half of 4. So I've watched better than half of the whole series. I'm probably going to finish it up probably tomorrow night. Some things that I really, really like about it. Again, like you, Jason, I dig these. I love the 24 documentaries. I love the process of how did we get to the show. And as I've been to WWE live events, like you said, I talked about the SmackDown event I went to. One of the fascinating things to me is during the break times and watching the whole process, all the ants come out and change all the moving parts and pieces, and you get to see that backstage. And there were a few things that I found really, really fascinating. One were the personal stories, and they really, of course, they looked at the big stars. They talked to Cody and they talked to Jay and they talked to Rhea Ripley, but then they also centered on like Chelsea Green. There was a great segment on Chelsea Green where it talks about her, and this is where she just put somebody just quote tweeted this the other day about how she talks about her spot in the company, and she's like, look, she's like, I am well aware and I am perfectly fine with being the one that gets her ass kicked all the time. She's like, as long as I'm booked every day, I'm good with it. She's like, but that being fair, they go into a little segment where she talks about her frustration with not being on the Survivor Series card. She's like, you know, I've put in all this work to not get booked on Survivor Series. I invited all my family to come in, and I don't want to give away too much of the show because it's a really good segment. But then it follows her ascent to the inaugural Women's U.S. Championship. And it's just a really, it's great WWE storytelling, and that's something that I found fascinating. The other thing that I found fascinating, and I want to talk to you guys a little bit about this, because as a worker, this both resonated with me, but also got me to thinking about something. They spent a lot of time in Gorilla, and one thing that they did that I really, really liked, they concentrated on Gorilla during actual shows, and it shows what goes on back there. And they talked about the process of working a match, and you've got two people in the ring, and we've known this for years that Vince used to have the refs on a headset, he used to have Michael Cole on the headset, whoever else was on commentary, and you get to watch that in play. Like, if there's a moment in the match, Triple H is like, okay, they know this one is about to give somebody an ominous look. So Triple H will call for, okay, I need that camera on his face to see the look, or on her face to see whatever I need to see. And that watching those parts and pieces move in real time during a live show was fascinating as fuck. Like, I have a better appreciation for the way they produce live television now, because they literally micromanage it down to the minutia until it goes off the rails. And there's one part where on the show, the very first episode was centered highly around the Raw debut on Netflix, and there's a segment in there with the Seth Rollins CM Punk match. Well, it ends up going long. And the producer was Abyss. I forget his government name, but it's the Abyss was the producer. And he's on the monitor, and he's in real time. They were given like 27 minutes, 25, 26 minutes, and they ended up going there a minute and a half over. They're 3 minutes over. They're 5 minutes over. And Bruce Prichard is like staring a hole in Abyss, and Abyss is like sweating. He's like, all right, during the match, he's sending like verbal cues to the referee, say, look, I know we wanted to do a certain move here, but they got to cut it out. We're running over. They got to wrap it up. We got to go home. And just watching all that was extremely fascinating to me. And I see now how the process works and why the magic works, but it didn't spoil it for me. I actually found it. Now I want to watch it more because I'm like, just like you said, I'm just absolutely fascinated with how that worked. That being said, now that I've seen how that process works, as someone who's been in the ring and been in the business a bit, I can see why some people wouldn't want to go there. When we talk about the WWE way, a lot of people have taken that and twisted it to mean WWE wrestlers can't wrestle outside of WWE. Which is absolute bullshit, because a lot of them spent time on the indies, and the ones that didn't have been hand-trained by people who have traveled the world for decades. WWE's Performance Center, Training Center, is elite. It is top-notch. There is talent there that is world-traveled, and then they have feeders to other people in the world who are world-traveled. So they know what they're doing there. The people coming out of there can handle themselves. But when I say WWE style, it's very much that. We are telling a story on TV, and we are backstage telling you what we think the next beat in the story should be, given the story that you're trying to tell. I can understand as a worker how that would not work for you, hashtag brother, because it can probably be very difficult to follow that process, because as a wrestler, you're trained to go out there and feel the crowd, feel the moment, call it in the ring if you need to. And I know there's a lot of guys that sit backstage and they're like, okay, we've got 7 minutes and I need to get my shit in, so I want to do this here and that here. They block it out backstage. And there's a bit of that creatively that goes on with WWE, and you see that here. But at the same time, if you're somebody who is used to going out and doing things your way, if you can't adopt and assimilate yourself into that style, you may not flourish there. And now I see that. So now I see when somebody's not flourishing under the WWE banner, that put it all together for me. It's like, okay, now I get it. Because as a worker, I'm not sure how I would have done that. So, Rob, I'll kick it over to you because I know you've watched a bit more of it than I have. Am I kind of on the mark there, or did you see some of that?
I see what you're saying, and yeah, like that part with the I did see that part about like the Raw debut. Having to take something out and just, you know, and then keep, you know, because you're running out of time and that type of thing. Also, just having to do shorter matches, right, for TV. That's something that, you know, a lot of companies, it's you know, people chafe at that, right?
Right.
And, yeah, and also, yeah, I mean, there is just a lot more, it's different working there. It's different. And you got to be able to take instruction, and then you got to be able, if something goes awry, you got to be able to adapt and then sometimes you got to say, fuck the instruction, this is what we're doing, and you know, you've got to make it work, right? Because a number of people who work, you know, have stories about Vince where basically, you know, if you do something that wasn't planned, you know if it works, then he'll say okay. You know, if it doesn't, then, you know, be like, dude, what the fuck? You know?
Yeah.
And now I think Hunter's probably more polite about saying that kind of thing, but, I mean, it's still, like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's different, right? Because there is all of this direction and instruction they give you. but you also have to be able to figure out when it's time to just, you know, dude, veer off of that. And, you know, you have to be confident enough in yourself that you can veer off of it and do something that works. And you have to also be just not afraid that if it doesn't work, you can't be afraid of getting, you know, chewed out over doing something that doesn't work. Or
one thing,
you can't. I mean, and it's no different than learning an offensive game plan for football, right? I mean, there's all this terminology and all these things you got to learn, all these formations and shifts. And, you know, when to look and see, but you also have to be able to look at how the defense is set up and see if there's something else that you might be able to do.
You got to read the blitz sometimes.
You got to be confident enough to call, you know, you got to be confident enough to change the play in the line if you see something. But of course, if you do that, then it better work.
Yeah. Oh, like I say, going back to that match with Seth and Punk, and now granted, these are two guys who had the cachet to do this. The crowd was hot. The match was fucking awesome. And they were probably like, no, we're not done yet. And they just kept going. And the best part of the whole segment, I am going to kind of give a little bit of this away, but I recommend going and watching this, and I'll hit on that at the end of the segment. Abyss is sweating it. And like I said, Bruce Pritchard staring it over his shoulder. The match ends. Abyss is like profusely apologizing to Pritchard. Like, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I tried to get him out of there. We tried to cut it off. They just kept going. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Finally, Regal looks at Abyss and without actually saying the words, Regal's like, fuck that guy. You did a good job. Don't listen to him. You did a good job. You guys had a great match. Shake it off and move on.
He said it in the most regal way possible.
That part. He did it in the most regal way.
It made me happy.
It's more or less.
There you go. Listen, I don't care what the fuck anybody else says. If I put on a wrestling match and William Regal walks over to me and says, that wrestling match made me happy, you could never tell me anything ever again about my booker skills or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't have too much more to say about the whole thing. Like I said, I love it. I think it's very well done. I think it tells some really good stories within the stories and the human side of people. Got a little more intimate with Montez and Bianca, which I thought was really, really neat. It's well done. If you haven't seen it, if you're on the fence about it, go watch it. It spoils absolutely nothing. Like, it really spoils nothing. And I hope they continue to do this. I'm assuming, based on, like I said, when I was watching it last night, it was number 5 on the Netflix most watched for either the day or the week or some shit like that. So I imagine it's doing well. WWE signed on to Netflix. Netflix signed them, paid for them, paid them billions of dollars for content. And there's only so much wrestling content that you can do without saturating your own market. They're going to put out other stuff. These documentaries and this type of stuff is where they're going with it. I think it's fine. I'm looking forward to finishing it up tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of them because I dig this kind of stuff. Rob, you got any closing thoughts on this?
Yeah, I would say they're not exposing the business the way that some people were concerned about. And because, look, the part that is the most, quote-unquote, exposing sure as hell looks like work. So yeah. I mean, that's the writer's room stuff, right? That so I wouldn't, you know, any of that writer's room stuff, I would just be, you know, that's just like, okay, whatever, man. And that's the part that has been the most, you know, that we hadn't seen yet.
Yeah.
So the biggest exposure of the business is sure as hell appears to be at work. The other stuff you've seen before. You know, all this other stuff you've seen on the 24 documentaries, if you watched any of those.
It's
very well done. I will say it's very well done.
It's excellently done. One last thing in closing before I kick it over and get Jason's final thoughts. For those of you that are worried about this, for you people that are complaining about WWE exposing the business, I have watched Kenny Omega wrestle a blow-up doll. I have watched the Young Bucks take bumps at an indie match on gummy bears and sell it like it's thumbtacks. I have seen slow-motion spots and I have seen Michael Jackson moonwalk all over people in the ring. The business has been exposing itself for decades. We're going to be okay, guys. Jason, any last thoughts?
Oh, no, I don't think it's harmful. Like, I mean, if you try to tell me that's how it actually works, then, okay, no. But, again, it's like you guys said, it's like the WWE 24, it's like those. And it does give, even if it's worked, it does give us a little bit more of a personal look, at least to performers. So, cool.
It's all part of the show. We're going to take a quick commercial break, or just a quick break. When we come back, we are going to be talking SummerSlam. There's a lot to go over. Oh, my God. Two nights, 12 matches. There's a whole lot of stuff. We got a big tail-end show for you guys. Before we go to break, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the one you're listening to right this moment, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We have a t-shirt there. Go check it out. Pick one up. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to break, and when we come back, it is all about SummerSlam.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back again. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and we are about to begin our kickoff show of WWE SummerSlam 2025. The first two-night SummerSlam in WWE history, and moving forward, this looks to be the trend for the foreseeable future. We've got a lot to talk about. Two nights, 12 matches, as customary on this show. Jason is going to take over the hosting duties as he keeps us updated on the card, and we'll kick around the room our predictions and get this going. Jason, the floor is yours.
Yes, sir. All right. So, for night one of SummerSlam, because goddamn it, we are in two night territory, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and it's going to be that way forever, unless there's a crash, and we don't want that. So, well, night one, here we go. Starting off with a bang, we have Tiffany Stratton defending her WWE Women's Championship against Jade Cargill. I do not see them pulling the plug on Tiffany quite yet, and I'll just leave it there. Rob?
Please, Jade, save us.
DJ?
Man, this one's a tough one because I agree with both of you. My only question in the air is because it seems like Jade Cargill definitively ended her feud with Naomi. She's got to move on to the next feud. Have they set her up with anybody to feud with since then? Because I'm behind on WWE TV.
Well, I'll put it this way. So since that ended, they had her and Tiffany do like a video vignette where each of them was talking to the camera separately. And then they did a segment where Jade was getting beat up by Chelsea's gang, and then Tiffany came in and saved her, and they didn't say a word to each other. So that kind of tells you what they're thinking here. But no, they don't have her feuding with anybody. And honestly, everybody, I mean, other than Nia Jax, everybody's occupied.
Yeah.
On SmackDown. So,
that's leading me to believe that Jade's going to win this. Because if she had somebody who could come in and take her out and screw her over, and Tiffany wins that way, I'd be like, okay, I could see that happening. But since there doesn't appear to be anyone to do that, I could see her winning unless we get a surprise return that comes out and takes out Jade Cargill. So, I'm going with Jade.
Fair enough. Alrighty. So, next up, we have what is surely to be a contender for the match of the weekend. And I kind of say that with only like 10% snark and 90% seriousness. Randy Orton and Jelly Roll, Team RK Roll, are taking on Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. Listen, Jelly's putting in the work. Everybody seems to want to go work with him, and, you know, because he's telling all these stories of being at the PC or whoever's ring or wherever he was. And he's like, oh, yeah, and this person showed up, and that person showed up, and they were all giving me pointers. And so, okay. And he's shown in all aspects of entertainment that he will go to the 99-yard line for you. I think this is going to be awesome. I mean, because we know the three other wrestlers in this match can go, and I just called Logan Paul a wrestler. I know that made DJ's spirit make a noise, but Logan Paul is in there, and I mean, he's not going to make. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. DJ, what do you think of this? The celebrity match of WrestleMania.
Hang on a minute. I don't hate Logan Paul. I mean, you know, the guy that's off camera, I have my thoughts about. But the guy who's presented on my TV, I've said on this show, I think he's picked this shit up. I think he's. Of all the celebrities that they've brought on board to do this, he's been about the best. I look for this to be a lot of fun. The only question mark I have is, what's going on with Drew McIntyre? Have you guys been keeping abreast of this? Again, we are entering territory where WWE is really blurring the lines as to what's really happening. But the last I saw, Drew McIntyre is like stuck overseas and was questionable for even being at SummerSlam. Is he back home?
I haven't seen anything from him saying he's back. The last I saw was him still being stuck over there.
Yeah, it was like a visa issue or some shit.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be working us for that.
No. You know? So this match, either I don't think it's in jeopardy. If they have to fill somebody in for Drew, I think they'll find somebody pretty quick. But be a shame for Drew if he missed SummerSlam, because this is a. I know a lot of people feel the way they feel about it, but this is a high profile match.
Basically works at the White House now, so like. If there's a visa issue, it probably won't be from our end.
Calling an airstrike. I need my Drew McIntyre back by Saturday. Calling an airstrike.
So
I don't know. All this right. is going to be a lot of fun. I look for Randy and Jelly Roll to win. Jelly Roll doesn't lose his debut match. Come on, man.
No, and I
mean, sorry, I didn't call a winner, but yes, RK Roll. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, the baby faces always win the wacky tag team matches. Oh.
Yeah, unless it's leading somewhere for the celebrity, then yeah, the baby faces win this. There, so, moving on, we have, So, according to Wikipedia, this is on night one.
Okay.
Gunther will be defending his World Heavyweight Championship against one. Philip Seymour Punk. Yeah. So, if it's on night one, look, you give away the farm if the thing main event's night two. So, that's not going to be it. But, and yeah, it makes sense because also on this card is Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso versus Braun Breaker. And Bronson Reed, Team Braun Braun, with Paul Heyman. Guys, CM Punk is going to win. Roman Reigns and Jey Uso are going to lose earlier in the night through hook, crook, and all sorts of shook. And then Gunther is going to lose to CM Punk. CM Punk is going to get cashed in on by Seth Rollins. Rob.
Yes.
No, what's your thoughts on the Gunther versus CM Punk? That's my thoughts, man.
Okay,
I'm not going to get, because we're in weird, in like talking about injury territory. But if you've been listening to the show, you know something's up with Seth Rollins. And I'm sorry, unless they do something tomorrow with the kayfabe of the Money in the Bank briefcase, I'm expecting Seth Rollins on SummerSlam weekend.
Okay. So I know about a month ago, I told you that you were riding the crazy train, you know, saying that Seth Rollins' injury may not be real. Okay, I know I said that. I made fun of you on everything. Okay, and we played the X-Files music for you while you were talking. Okay.
Yep. You sure did.
I did all of that. Okay.
I just need you to believe, Scully.
Okay, so. So you could play the Morpheus clip from the Matrix. He says, he's starting to believe.
Right.
because.
Shit stinks.
I'm starting to believe in the possibility, at least, that there, you know, and I'll tell you why, because like you said, it's been weeks now, and one, they're still walking around with the briefcase, and they have not said anything specific about his injury. No, okay, it does
they
not.
Are keeping the now. Keep in mind, we like to remind folks, WWE television frequently, more often than anything else, is made for the stupidest viewer, and I don't even mean that insultingly, because some of this is your subconscious.
Yeah, and by
the Money in the Bank briefcase has never left your screen.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Money in the Bank briefcase is right there. It's right there. It's a thing that's going to happen. Okay? So, and all these yeah. visual clues. Sorry, Rob, go ahead.
Okay. And well, because look, when people suffer a real injury, they tell you. Like, when, as soon as they know, they tell you exactly what it was. They tell you so and so has a torn ACL. So and so has a sprained MCL. Whatever, right? They do that about everybody, okay? They had Kevin Owens come to the ring and cut a whole promo when he was in the middle of like a blood feud with Randy Orton. They had him come to the ring and cut a whole promo saying, hey guys, can't do it. And this is why, okay? So they do not get all gray and murky about real injuries. They do not. And so far, they have been very gray and murky about Seth Rollins' injury. And he was on the Rich Eisen show like the week after it happened. And he said that, well, you know, the swelling hasn't gone down, so we couldn't really get a good image in the MRI. That is a real thing.
Like, it's a real thing, but like, to have no idea.
Yeah, and it's they haven't done what they usually do as far as reporting on real injuries.
Yeah,
and even when there's a work injury, like when you know, like Jade with the you know when she got you know with the whole thing with Jade and Naomi, like the very next week they rattled off this laundry list of injuries, of very specific sounding injuries that Jade supposedly had from. You know, from being pushed in front of a car. And they haven't, all they've said about Rollins is, well, he's going to be gone for a while. That's literally all they're saying. And they're still walking around with the Money in the Bank briefcase. And we know that you can't just gift the briefcase to Braun Breaker or Bronson Reed. Because if they were going to gift the briefcase to either one of those guys, they would have done it. Right? If they were just going to pretend that the briefcase, you know, if they were just going to just act like, if they're going to let Seth just keep the briefcase until when he
and also, storytelling wise, that's not something that makes sense when you explain it after the fact.
Yeah, and then also like,
it does not land the same way if on Sunday fucking Braun Breaker runs out, his music hits, runs out there with the briefcase, the ref goes, yeah, okay, Cash is in the briefcase, Braun Breaker wins the title. No. And then they wait till Monday or Friday to explain, like, oh, Seth Rollins signed it over. No, they would not run that story that way.
No. So if they were going to gift the briefcase to Braun Breaker or Bronson Reed, they would have done it.
They still have Friday. They still have tomorrow.
Yeah, they still have tomorrow to do that. So, but they haven't done it yet. And the other thing is they haven't just disappeared the briefcase either. Because if they were just going to wait for Seth to come back, and then they would just disappear in the briefcase and not talk about it, right? And then when he came back, he would come back with the briefcase, right?
Right.
So they're still walking around with the briefcase. They haven't given it to either one of the other two guys in his group, and they still have not, you know, specifically told us what the injury is, because by now. I find it hard to believe. Look, that happened on what?
And also, it also like hasn't leaked like at all. Like yeah, nothing. The sheets aren't even trying to say anything.
Yeah.
Because they have absolutely nothing. And I'm sorry,
Yeah, and it's been
they get sniffs of something, and it's been, what, 12 days?
It's been 20 days. No, it's been 20. They happened on the 11th.
20 days, dude.
It happened on Saturday night's main event.
And the only thing we've seen, we saw him walking around on crutches at home.
Yeah.
Which
Becky took the video.
And you could have a sprained ankle and you walk around on crutches for a couple of days. Okay.
Right. Or you could, hey, honey, leave these crutches and we gotta film a few bits.
Yeah, so it could, so right now we have.
Last piece of evidence that I want to enter in front of the jury, because, if in case you haven't listened to my conspiracy theories in previous weeks. Okay, Seth Rollins actually cranks his knee, and he's out for a long, long time, and that sets everything off with WrestleMania and Roman winning against Triple H and all that stuff. When Seth came back, he worked the knee injury for about, what was it, a year?
Yeah.
He would just work it randomly, and even beyond that. And every single time, it would be a flip or a landing that he would land on both feet, but he would land in that kind of little, springy way and hop up the bad knee and go, ah! And that's exactly what happened when he got this new quote-unquote injury. And, he did it, and then, instead of selling it, he was, instead of selling it as in, I'm in minute 12 of a wrestling match that's going to go 25 minutes and I'm going to win. He was selling it to the directive of, you need to sell this like it's a real injury. So he just, what did he do? He just sat down.
Crumpled and then went into the finish.
He took the BFT and then he sat
down. Yeah.
Okay, I'll say this. Okay, I'll close with this. There's enough evidence to suggest that we might be getting worked here.
Yeah.
And if we don't,
I'm just asking questions.
But this time you're right. Okay, this is one of the rare times. Look, I normally have nothing for tinfoil hat things. And like I've always said, as somebody who's worked in the federal government for many years. The people smart enough to do it don't want to. The people who want to do it aren't smart enough, usually.
But Rob, this wasn't even, in my defense, this was not even a tinfoil hat thing. This was as soon as he did the work the knee, as soon as he did it, alarm bells went off. Because, I watched that exact injury for 18 months. And then, that was weird. And then it just snowballed from there.
Yeah.
So
I would close with
there's
this.
There's a litany of evidence, I'm just saying.
If they got me, because I was very much on the hard side of this is a shoot, this is a real injury. I did say that if Jason ends up being right, that I would on air, live into a mic, apologize to him and tell him that he was right, which means I'm putting in my request for PTO next week. You guys are on your own. No,
I just got to get this out there. If this turns out to be true, bravo, thank you, wonderful. This is amazing, as I'm sure DJ is going to get to, and we all pretty much agree on this stuff. As long as you're not playing with people's lives, lie to us.
Yes, I like getting. I like getting
got all the time. Please.
Every time.
So,
do not tell us the truth.
Nope.
Don't play with people's lives, because we actually do care about these people, as we always talk about, the weird relationship as that is. We do care about these people, as some of them, as people.
We do.
So don't play with they have a neck injury, they have a whatever injury that might lead to awful things later in life. We've literally seen Seth Rollins come back from this injury, so it's not okay, fine. Yeah. Fair play.
All right, Jason, what's next?
Oh, God. I was so excited about my Seth Rollins.
He likes being right.
Yeah, I forgot about the rest of the card. So, we have the tag team match for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. Team, not friends, just acquaintances? Coworkers? What are they?
Allies of Convenience.
Allies of Convenience. Sorry. Allies of Convenience. So, the Allies of Convenience, Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, take on the champions, the Judgment Day, Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez. While I do think this would be a good win for Team Allies of Convenience, I don't know how the Roxanne... Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure they can figure out because they're smarter than me. Roxanne and Raquel losing plays into the Liv storyline, and we don't know when Liv's coming back, so we don't even know if it matters. But, so, okay, gun to my head... Occam's Razor, Team Allies of Convenience. Just let them win. Let them have a run with it. Let them have fun. And then let them just lose. They don't need to break up and then feud. Just let them just lose and then shake hands and do the tea thing and blah, 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 and say, das vidanya. Rob, what do you think of the Judgment Day versus Allies of Convenience?
Well, I am going to... One, I will be there in the building for night one. And so I will be rooting for the Allies of Convenience, of course.
Wow.
Yeah, big shocker. Big shocker.
Shocker, right? I know. okay, now I was on Earnest last night, and I thought that maybe they would maybe stretch it out for another month, them winning. But... why would you have them not win at SummerSlam and then have them win at like Clash at Paris? Like, why would you do that?
This is a right? SummerSlam.
So I'm going to pick them to win, and they'll figure out what to do afterwards. And now I do think that I don't think when this ends that they're going to shake hands and. Go their separate ways amicably. I think somebody is going to revert to their true colors. Because honestly, look, Alexa's one of those people that doesn't get booed. It'd be stupid to try and have her turn heel out of this.
And she can also, with their character, she can do a tweener, not a true baby face, especially in a rivalry with Charlotte.
Yeah, the person who was more likely to get booed, that's who you should have turn heel when it's time to do it. But for now, they're having fun, and they're riding roller coasters, and they're doing all types of wacky things. And so, I think they win here. I mean, because, again, sometimes you pick to do the simple thing. And
Occam's Razor, my friend. So next up we had the match we talked about a little bit earlier.
Hey,
it in my head.
Hey.
Oh.
Hi.
I'm here.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't cut me off this time, okay?
No, he cut off the bearded guy.
I didn't want Al Sharpton calling me again.
Right, so this now we got white on white crime.
Yeah, great. Now the president's gonna call me.
Oh, Jesus. No, I was on with the DWI guys before we started recording, and I had some thoughts about this. One, I think that can they coexist team of Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair are winning this, but more importantly, Rob has talked a lot about the importance of if we want the women's tag team division and the women's tag team championships to be taken seriously, you've got to put them on top stars. And Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair are two of the top stars in the women's division against one up-and-coming future top star and a current mid-upper-card star in Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez. I think this is a marquee match. My hope is that they get 12 to 15 minutes to showcase what all these women can do. I hope this is not an 8 minutes and out match. I hope they give them time to cook. I'm looking for Charlotte and Alexa to win this one.
All right. So moving on, we had the aforementioned Roman Reigns, Jey Uso versus Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker. Easy for me to say. Accompanied by the Oracle, Paul Heyman.
I hate that.
Gross. I had this reversed in my head. Team Braun is going to lose the match, thus putting, you know, Team Wiseman on their Team Oracle on the back foot, only to triumphantly return when they cash in their Money in the Bank briefcase later in that night. Much like all of the Money in the Bank cash-ins have kind of gone when the holder loses their match the same night. But Roman Reigns and Jey Uso and Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed are going to have a fucking hoot. Because these guys just love to wrestle, and they are all kind of Jay just because of his size, maybe not, but otherwise, you know, they're all just locomotives who want to keep going and going and going and smashing. And Jay has the speed to keep up with all of that for what he lacks in size and impact, which he really doesn't. This could be a match of the weekend candidate, and I'm looking for Roman Reigns and Jey Uso to win. Rob, what do you think?
They took the man's shoes Monday. You can't do that and win the match. Okay.
Yeah, no. That's the other thing. Also, that was awesome, by the way.
Bronson
shoes.
Take his socks. Nobody wants to see their favorite wrestler get beat down, but sometimes it's done so well that you gotta just say,
bro, that was so disrespectful. Like, I was personally insulted. Like, and that's all I can think of is, God forgive me, what's his name? The comedian.
Patrice O'Neal.
Patrice O'Neal, God bless him.
Yeah.
He, oh my God, so funny. That's all I could think of, and I was just like, Roman Reigns, you better split Bronson Reed in half this weekend.
Yes. And then he held it up for the camera after he took
it. Right, he held it up like it was a championship belt, which was just tremendous. DJ, what did you have here?
I'm actually going to go against the grain here. I think the Empire, ooh, I hate it, think tank, please come up with something else. I think they clean sweep here, and only because I think they're building towards a Survivor Series match. I think you start planting the seeds for Survivor Series here. Okay. Although I expect the match to be pure chaos. It's going to be a fucking fight.
Yeah. Now I will say this. Okay. Depends on who goes on last. If this match goes on last, then, you know, I think Roman and Jay are going to win regardless, but as far as the tinfoil hat stuff, if by some chance Gunther and Punk go on last, then that damn briefcase will get cashed in.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit, right, man.
Yeah.
All right, so last up on night one, probably the main event, I would imagine, Sami Zayn versus Karrion Kross. If Cross wins, Zayn has to say the words, Cross was right. If Zayn wins, Cross must say, I was wrong about Zayn.
Okay.
I don't care. Rob?
I'll just say the same thing I've been saying about Cross every time they put him in one of these matches. Why are you putting him in here if he's not going to win? But he never wins these matches, so he's probably not going to win this one either.
DJ?
Karrion Kross wins this. I think we're headed in a new direction with Sami Zayn. We're on to the next beat of the Sami Zayn story. Karrion Kross.
God bless you. All right, so we are on to night two. We have, where should we start? Let's start with the no disqualification, no countout, last chance match for the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship. If Becky Lynch wins, Valkyria can no longer challenge for the title as long as Lynch is champion. So, Lyra Valkyria and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch obviously defending her championship. It's just, again, this is Occam's Razor. It's SummerSlam. Lyra should win. Yes. Like, get it done. Rob?
We know something, brother.
Oh, God. Here she comes.
Here it is. There it is.
The Seth and Becky Hogan, they are going to have a banner weekend.
No, seriously. I can't, you know, there's no point in having Lyra go through all this and then lose at the end. There's no point. Because basically that means she's... if she goes through all this and just loses at the end, then that means she's a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, yes.
Okay. Yeah, visually, that's what she is.
And, she puts herself in the same category as Cross quite quickly.
And another person, and this is Nikki A.S.H. all over again. If you know, if you put her,
I'm not going to use the stupid. Yeah, dude. I'm not going to use the deserve word. But also, like, look at the character growth that she's shown in the last just 3 months alone. Don't hurt her momentum. Stop it.
Now, you know, there's Bayley's been kind of hovering around here, so it would not surprise me if Bayley gets involved and helps her win, you know, because
Bayley is the reason she loses.
Oh, that would be. Oh, brother. Bayley's going to be involved in the finish. They're not having her linger around and moping around about, you know, what, because she said Monday, well, I didn't get to beat WrestleMania, now I don't get to beat SummerSlam.
This is Becker. This is Bayley's story.
They didn't do that for her to just not get involved at all. I think she helps Lyra win, and then, and yeah, I don't know what direction they go in with any of the three of them after that. I mean, do you have Bayley and Becky feud? Do you have, you know, Bayley challenge Lyra?
Bayley and Becky feud. Why not?
Because they got nothing else to do. I mean.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. I mean, like, let's go.
So Bayley gets involved.
I'm signing up for that.
Bayley helps Lyra win because, again, you don't have no DQ, no count out for it not to matter.
Right.
So you have no DQ, you have a third person there waiting to get involved. So Bayley helps Lyra win. Because the Baxter's not going over clean, brother. Not going under clean, brother.
EJ?
I think Lyra wins this one in what I expect to be, one, a car crash of the night, and also a match that could steal the weekend. It really could. These women have excellent chemistry together. One thing I do anticipate after this is, and this is part of why I called for Charlotte and Alexa to win the tag team championships, is I see Roxanne next up for Lyra. One, because they're two hot up-and-coming stars. They're the next level of the next vision, the next crop of women to head up to the main event. And you start the early seeds for that here with them fighting over the mid-card. Not unlike Shawn and Brett for the Intercontinental Championship 30 years ago. You know, this is a situation where this could very much be the Shawn and Brett of their generation. That's what I see happening here, is Roxanne Perez versus Lyra Valkyria trading that Intercontinental Championship back and forth for a while. So, yeah, Lyra's winning this one.
Don't hate that prediction at all. So, next up, we have a steel cage match where Solo Sikoa is defending his United States Championship against his cousin, Jacob Fatu. I think Jacob's going to win here. I think it's going to be an absolutely brutal match. But yeah, I look for Jacob to win that title again. Rob.
Okay, I got Solo. Solo's got three helpers. Jacob has.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
So.
And Jacob's got the new guy. Solo has the new guy, Hakilo.
Yeah. So numbers game favors Solo. So I think he wins here.
That's fair. DJ?
Two Samoan wrecking machines in a steel cage. Please inject that right into my veins. That's going to be awesome. I agree with Rob. I think Solo, unless there's a surprise entrant that comes out and helps Jacob, yeah, the numbers game out, you know, outlasts him here.
Right. So next up, we have Dominic Mysterio defending his Intercontinental Championship against AJ Styles in a match that has been brewing for a long time, as AJ has been on the case of making sure that Dominic gets cleared, as he should have been a long time ago. So medically cleared, Dominic Mysterio defends his title against AJ Styles. I look, again, it's SummerSlam, Occam's Razor, a lot of these things. AJ wins because, you know, he was the good guy, you know, making sure that the bad guy defended his title, and now the bad guy's going to pay for it. He can always extend it to one more, but why? Why? Just get it done. So AJ Styles wins here. DJ.
I think AJ Styles wins, not because AJ needs it, but because I think they're about to start elevating Dominic. Dominic is on the next AAA show for, what is their main championship? The Grand...
Like the Mega title or something.
Title or something like that. He's in a world championship match, and it would not surprise me if WWE did a very, very hilarious thing that night at that event. And that's all I'm going to say.
I agree, and I think they should.
Right? I think it would be incredible if they did it.
Yeah, I think...
And they wouldn't, like, cause, and also, Dom is over, like, Rover there.
Oh, yeah, he was there the other night, and the crowd whips and fucking stuff bananas. I've seen.
Like, when he unmasked, the place went bananas.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Rob, what do you think with Dom and AJ?
Actually, I think... See, I was originally saying that Dom wins here, but if, you know, yeah, but I do think he is going to win that AAA title. So, yeah, they could just, they could take the, you know, the Intercontinental belt off him here. So, I'm going to go with you guys and go with AJ.
Dog, if he did a little stint in AAA where he just defended the title a couple of times and won it by hook, kept winning by hook and by crook, and just had that belt on WWE television.
I think that's part of the point.
I mean, and he probably defended it a couple of times.
And he could drop it to Vikingo back at Survivor Series. You could spotlight that championship on Survivor Series.
Yes, get it done. Book it. We gave our thoughts there. So last up, we have a 6-pack. Tables, ladders, and chairs match for the WWE Tag Team Championship. My God. The Wyatt Six, so Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy, versus Andrade and Rey Fénix, versus DIY, who are, of course, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, Praxium, Axiom, and Nathan Frazier, Motor City Machine Guns, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, and finally, the Street Profits, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. I think I just have to say those names and say six-pack tables, ladders, and chairs match for the WWE Championship, Tag Team Championship, if I could say it. And that's all you need to know. I mean, this match is going to be an absolute car crash. It's going to be an absolute joy. And I think the Wyatt Six are going to win this. And we're going to get spooky for a little while. DJ.
I agree. This match is going to be insane. And do you think they open with this one?
I could definitely see that.
I could see them opening with this one. I'm pulling for the Wyatts. I'm calling for the Wyatts. I'm glad they're finally doing something with this. I know we had the start and stop a couple times. Didn't help that Bo Dallas got injured, or Uncle Howdy, I'm sorry, got injured. So it kind of stalled out whatever plans they had for that faction. Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fucking fun, man, and I love all six teams that are in this. I would pick any one of them, but in my head, I'm going with the Wyatts.
Bob?
Yeah, I think the Wyatts hang on here because they just won the belts. I mean, why would you have them drop the belts that quickly?
Yeah.
So much violence.
And they're also getting a haunted house at Universal Studios. The Wyatt Six will have a haunted house at Universal.
Part of Halloween Horror Nights,
Halloween Horror, thank you. Yeah, you would know more than me, Mr. Florida Man.
Yep, that's a big deal. That's a big freaking deal, man. A lot of people that I've seen are excited about it, even people that you wouldn't think are in that wrestling bubble. I'm in a Facebook group for Welcome to Rockville, that hard rock heavy metal festival that I go to in Daytona every year, and people were posting about it in there, that the Wyatts have a haunted house at Halloween Horror Nights this year. So that's a big fucking deal, guys. That's pretty awesome. And I love that they're going to keep Bray Wyatt's legacy going. That's so cool.
I'm sure he will, but I hope they have some Bray and Fiend presence.
In I hope so.
I'm not saying somebody has to dress up as the Fiend or something like that. But some sort of presence would be awesome, because he's said multiple times that he would do a haunted house gimmick like in no time. So it's gonna be cool, and I'm happy that his, you know, because he's Mr. Comic Book, you know, Mortal Kombat, all the nonsense I love about wrestling. So I'm glad we're getting another shot here, guys.
Yep, I like it. So Jason, that was it for the card. I think we got a hell of a good weekend lined up, man. There's so much good stuff, so many good storylines coming into this, and so many potentially good storylines spinning out of this.
Did we forget the main event?
What main event? Jason, you skipped.
I skipped two matches because they stacked this card I was looking at. Oops.
Sorry, so we're not out of here just
the
yet.
The main event in our hearts, Naomi is defending her Women's World Championship in a triple threat against Rhea and Io Sky. And Naomi's not losing that championship yet. So however this turns out, Naomi's going to win. Rob.
I agree. Naomi, I'm rooting for Naomi to win. You better not take that belt off her, Triple H.
DJ?
Oh, I agree with you guys. This is a unison thing here. All right, Naomi's got to win here. And another match that I truly believe could potentially steal the show.
Yeah, and I need Naomi to spiral more. Like get more confidently insane, not, you know, crazy insane. Like, yes.
And
yes,
this is a triple threat match, which means there's no countouts, no disqualifications. So you can get a little bit nuts in these types of matches.
Yeah, so she'll do something obscene and win. So that's going to be great. Hopefully. So finally, we have what I assume is, Rob, you're correct, the main event of the evening. The undisputed WWE Championship will be contested. John Cena will be defending it against Cody Rhodes in a street fight. I don't think it's quite time for John to lose yet, and I don't think he's gonna. And I don't even think Cody is going to be the one who beats him. So, there you go. Rob, what do you think?
Okay, I think he hangs on here, although, like, I'm kind of at the point where it's like, okay, well, what do we do now after that? I mean, and to me, I just talked about this a good bit last night. And with Cena, I think, well, The Rock not being involved in all this is now, I think it's really hurting. Other than, well, it hurt at WrestleMania also, because we had to listen to Fiend, you know. Him not being here now, I think, does hurt things, because now, you know, they've done this. It feels to me, anyway, like they're doing that thing that I've accused Triple H of doing many times, and that is just, you know, booking to his calendar. Yeah. It's like, well, we know Cena's down at the end of the year. Okay. You know, at some point, like, he has to lose the title in enough time to, you know, turn back babyface before he's over, before it ends. And it's August, so it's not time for that yet, so he's probably going to win here. And and it's just, I don't know, I mean, they got to add some, for me, they need to add some new twist to this thing, because it looks like Dwayne ain't coming, so it looks like there's got to be some new twist. This will be the time to debut somebody to, you know, basically be seen as bodyguard or something or other to interfere, even though this is a street fight. This would be the time to do it, because if he just, I mean, yeah, to me, it's getting a little monotonous now. So I think they need to add some type of twist here. And so I think Cena wins. I don't know how, but yeah, I think Cena wins, and they do something else to this.
It'd be funny if it was The Rock. EJ, what do you think?
I kind of agree with the finish. If Cena's winning this, I don't think Cody's winning it back just yet, because this year, Cody can take a year off from the WWE Championship, or at least 8 months. Because this year really is about Cena's final run, Cena's final story in whatever way he wants to tell it. And Rob, you're right, but unfortunately, there was no other alternative here. He is booking to the calendar simply because we have a very finite endpoint. You know, if John said, hey, look, I see the window down the road, then we can play a little more loose with the football and kind of play around with things a little bit more and try some things out. I won't disagree that it needs something to kind of spice it up a bit. What they do, I don't know. I like your idea of either finding a bodyguard for Cena, which Omos is sitting right there. You know, if Omos came out and took out Cody and John Cena won that way, I would pop. I would pop for that because that's a good use of Omos. Gets him back on TV. Gets him seen with the biggest.
Doesn't that add a whole new layer to the bad guy, John Cena? Like, it does. Now he's got a helper, dude.
Now he's
like,
got a giant on his
side. One time. Yes. Like, he's got a bodyguard. Like, he's using all the heel tactics. All the things that he told us that hustle, loyalty, and respect can overcome. Like, that works.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's all I have to say about that one.
Oh, so sorry, Rob. Go ahead.
Rob said his piece.
Yeah, I think Cena wins, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We both said our piece. Right. So that actually brings us to the end of the SummerSlam card. Sorry about that, gentlemen.
So as I was saying, we are in for an excellent, excellent WWE Premium Live Event weekend as we had our false finish, and we move into the real finish. We went over. We've got Bruce Pritchard yelling at Abyss right now, telling, you know, get these guys off the air. We're out of time.
Jason, but you know what? Hey, you know what? We made William Regal happy, so I don't care.
That's what I'm telling myself, pal. Another good show tonight. Had a lot of fun. I hope everybody enjoys SummerSlam. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens here. And just enjoying if you're watching SmackDown and Raw, you got 4 consecutive days of WWE programming and excellent professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Enjoy that. As our friend Jay would say, like a nana, like a kid. Just have fun, pals. Rob, you got anything else before we get out of here?
I guess I will have an eyewitness report from night one next week.
Yeah, boots on the ground with Rob.
Looking forward to that. And hopefully I will be able to celebrate the tag team title victory.
All right. Jason, any parting shots before we get out of here tonight?
I am good. Another great show, gentlemen.
All right. Fun as always. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. Go over to thechairshot.com. Go listen to all the podcasts that we have there. We have everything. We've got you covered from sports to entertainment to sports entertainment and all points in between. We've got podcasts. We've got articles. Go over there. Check it out. That is thechairshot.com. You've been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. As always, we thank you for making it all the way to the end of another great episode. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.